Okay.
Great. Welcome, everyone. So today we've got Calvin Cheng presenting the open attestation ending method from Tech Singapore. Before we get into that, Calvin, I'm just going to go over a little bit of admin. It should only take a couple of minutes. So first up, Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct. Please review the Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct at WPC. I think we're all great at this, treat everyone with respect, treat people how you want to be treated, listen to each other, and let's try and have a conversation here.
Sure, thanks. Sorry, Will, I wasn't able to catch you because you were breaking up.
Yeah. 1 second. Yeah, so as I was saying, code of conduct, professional conduct, treat everyone with respect. Please review the code of conduct. I think we're all great at that here, but let's work together to have a productive conversation today and in the future. So next is the IP note. So anybody is welcome to participate in this call, and we value your participation, but if you are going to make substantive contributions to any CCG work items, you're required to sign the W3C IPR agreements. If you have any trouble with that, just reach out to us and we can point you in the right direction. Okay, next we have introductions and reintroductions. Is anyone new to the call today who would like to introduce themselves, or has anyone not said hello for a while? I'd like to say hi to the community. Please jump on the queue. Not seeing anybody on the queue. Okay, let's move on. Announcements and reminders. Anyone have any announcements and reminders to the community they would like to share? Please jump on the queue. Oh, I had someone. Manu. Hey.
Hey, Will. One announcement, pretty big announcement. I just sent this out to the mailing list, but some of you may have seen that the Decentralized Identity Foundation, the Trust Over IP Foundation, the W3C Credentials Community Group, this group, the W3C DID Working Group, and a few other leading organizations have just made an announcement about kind of a partnering collaboration agreement to standardize DID methods. So there's a letter of intent that has gone out to the community at large, the global community at large. I'll put that here in the chat. And the intent here is to basically standardize a number of DID methods. One of the kind of regular criticisms on the DID ecosystem is that there aren't certain DID methods standardized. So this is just to kind of kick off the process. The general approach is, any one of these organizations can pursue DID method standardization. We're just kind of sending a very clear outline or a very clear message to kind of the global community that we are prioritizing this work and plan to get it done. So there's this letter of intent that you can kind of read through. There's also a sign up. There's a call to action at the end to, like, if you're interested in participating in this work, no matter what community that you're in, you can show your support for, DID method standardization. And you can also, if you want to, sign up to participate in the work, wherever it might happen. Over the next couple of weeks, we will be hosting kind of open meetings between all of these different groups to kind of get a plan in place, suggest standardization charters, figure out, what DID methods go where for standardization, and in general kind of start with earnest on the standardization arc for these technologies. So if you're interested, please sign up, please read the letter, and definitely please circulate this among your communities. I think that's it. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Mara. I see Lucy on the queue.
Thank you. I probably some of you already saw the announcement about the CA DMV official launch of the hackathons. I just want to just make sure we also make an announcement here. I'm sharing the link to the official webpage of the MDL community hackathons, which will be co-hosted by the CA DMV and OpenID Foundation. We have a virtual briefing last week. We will be posting the link to the YouTube on the website. But if you want to look at it now, you can still register for using the registration link, and then you will get a recording link to it. And the public registration for the public event, which is open to anyone, particularly private sector and social sector organizations, the application is open. You can apply by end of next August 9th, that's next Friday. And the public event, we will be open the registration either later this week or early next week. So yeah, just want to make sure, I shared this with the group on this call. So if you have any further questions, you have the email on the webpage, so you can reach out to us. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Lucy. Okay. I don't see any more announcements and reminders. I'm going to skip the work. Well, does anyone have any updates on CCG work items that they'd like to share with the community quickly before we hand over to Calvin? I don't have anyone to call out. I wasn't prepared. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, and it is 10 past. So I'm going to hand over to you, Calvin, if you want to take it away with the presentation, and then we'll leave some time for Q&A at the end. Great, thanks.
So, Cal, can you share?
Okay, are you able to see the screen?
We are, but a bunch of people got kicked off, so you might wait a bit, including Calvin, so you might wait a bit to start.
Okay, got it.
Sorry, guys, I was kicked out, so I have to rejoin. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, good. Hi, everybody. Everyone, I'm Calvin Cheng, representing the Government Technology Agency of Singapore. And actually, with me today, I do have a number of my colleagues, and the screen sharing is actually done by Cal, who is also going to be giving you the demo. Okay, so Cal, next. Yeah, so for today's presentation, I'm going to start with an overview to give you an idea of what the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer is. And then Carl is going to give you the demo and also a walkthrough of the design. And then we're going to have a Q&A afterwards to close it up. Okay, next. All right. So actually, I'm not the only one here. So we have a number of my colleagues. So we have Carl, which you hear a lot, and then Siyi. So both of them are the technical guys behind this, and they will actually be able to better answer technical questions. We also have Yvonne here, who is our product manager. Okay, next. Right. So what's the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer? So it's part of the Open Attestation Framework that was created in 2018. It is a decentralized renderer web application that renders, in its latest version, VC Data Model 2.0 conformant document in an iframe. Also want to emphasize that the renderer and open attestation can be independent, so they can be implemented independently of each other. So one of the main the reasons I'm talking about this today is also because we actually merged our specification into the render method spec, which is on GitHub, so you can actually look at it in this repository. And we have a boilerplate implementation on GitHub that you can actually check out and run on your own. And then you get more details, you know, as Kyle should walk you through with the demo. Okay, next. So what's open attestation itself? It's an open source verifiable credentials framework created by the government of Singapore. And it has been in production since 2018. So in its latest version, so now we are on version 4, which is in beta right now. And we intend to take it to production by the end of the year. Okay. So the logos you see on the right are some of our success stories with so we've done millions of verifications so far. So just to walk you through to give you some context about that. OpenCerts was created as a format for distribute with the Institute of Higher Learning in Singapore for educational certificates. But as of now, we actually made it run with all institutions in Singapore, including your K-12 institutions issuing open certs. And the government of Singapore is very keen on upskilling of the workforce. So we're also pushing for these certs to be for training institutes to also provide these certificates as well. And then health certs is a COVID era certificate for vaccination records. So it's used for travel and also for pre-departure check from Singapore. And then we have other, Trust Bar is for business registrations. And so Trust Docs is our latest initiative. So we realized over the years that we have different agencies issuing different types of documents. So now we put them together as a SAS. So government agencies in Singapore can start issuing their own certificates without having to deploy their own services. So it's interesting because VCs are designed for decentralized use, but now we actually have this centralized setup to issue certificates. But then we still allow for, they enable decentralized workflows because of that. And last but not least, you see the verify.gov.kh. KH is for the government of Cambodia. So they also taken up open attestation and they have started using it to issue their education certificates as well. All right. And then I want to also put that point clear before I close this up is that our render method is independent of open attestation. So in this latest version, open attestation itself can also be rendered like use. We actually implemented SVG for renderer. But and then our renderer can be used for other outside of open attestation as well. Okay, so with that, I'm going to hand you over to Kyle to do the demo.
All right. Thanks so much, Kelvin. Hi, everyone. My name is Kyle. I'm one of the software engineers on the open attestation team. And I'll be happy to showcase a demo of this embedded renderer that we have also published a draft on the VC render specs. Yeah. So as we can see, in a particular VC, there is a field called the render method that has been proposed. And what we are trying to go about here is actually to advertise the open attestation embedded renderer, which you see for the type field over here. So we just require two additional fields, which is the ID field to represent the renderer endpoint, right? So it's basically like a website that can be hosted by the issuer. So it's owned entirely by the issuer, as well as design and control of the issuer. And for each particular renderer endpoint, you are able to also serve multiple types of VCs, and we classify them as renderer name. So an issuer just needs to host a single renderer endpoint, and they're able to serve or render multiple types of VCs out there in the wild. Yeah. So that's how we designed it. And to give you a quick overview first, what you see down here is actually a screenshot of our OpenCert's verifier portal, which I'll also bring you through a demo later on. And how we've designed the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer is actually to exist inside a sandboxed iframe. So the hosted renderer, which you see on the right side, is actually entirely served by the renderer endpoint, I think the ID field that we have mentioned over here. So basically, it's a bit similar to embedding a website onto another website. So the host would be the parent, and the iframe will be the child. And we also make use of established web standards like the PostMessage API to kind of communicate, to facilitate communication between the host frame as well as the child frame, which is the renderer endpoint here. So we call these actions API. So in the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer, we have quite a few different commands, you could call them, between the host to renderer or even from the renderer to host. So there is ability to facilitate two-way communication. So these are just some of the actions API that can be called. And I think one of the more important ones is the render document action over here, where the action type is, of course, render document, and it will provide a payload of the VC. So in this case, these are the fields that exist inside the VC so that the render endpoint would know how to render the document subsequently. Yeah. So for an initial render to happen, we have a very quick and simple sequence diagram over here. Basically, the gray box over here represents the host environment, which in this case was the OpenCert's .io verifier, where it will actually load in an iframe element. And of course, the first step is to establish a connection with the renderer endpoint. And once that connection has been established, the host is able to start making those action API calls. And of course, the first one would be to, hey, please help me to render this document. It calls the render document command with the payload of the VC, and all the renderer endpoint has got to do is to return that in HTML, so a rendered version of the VC in HTML. There are also some other commands here like update height, and that's also because of the iframe being a fixed height while it exists on the host environment. So the renderer is able to tell the parent frame, hey, could you expand my iframe height to accommodate VCs that could be rendered in different formats or in different sizes. And of course, I think there's also a update templates, which we'll go into more detail as to what that means. Yeah. So now I guess I can bring you through the OpenCert verifier. Actually, after this presentation, I believe all of you can even try it out for yourself. Just simply head over to opencerts.io, and we do have a demo certificate ready over here. You just need to drag and drop it inside the verifier. And for this particular demo, I've installed the Chrome extension that is able to capture and display post-message API calls. So in a few moments, we'll see the different commands from the host talking to the embedded renderer, which is the child frame. And of course, the very first command that we've mentioned earlier on is actually to render the document. And as you can see, the payload of the document has been included inside this action API call so that the renderer endpoint would know how to render this particular VC. So I also mentioned about having update templates. So this is a call subsequently. Oh yeah, before that, we have the update height command. So in this case, the embedded renderer has also said, hey, could you expand the iframe's height to 825 pixels? Yeah, so that's one of the commands from the child frame. And the next command that is sent by the child frame is actually to let the host verifier knows what are the different types of templates this particular VC can be rendered into. So as you can see, we have a certificate, transcript, and media. So these corresponds to the different tabs you see here. So from the host, they are able to choose different views to render a particular VC. So in this case, there is a transcript tab as well as a media tab to embed things like a YouTube video. So that's a quick overview of how the initial render would happen. And one of the considerations of making use of HTML or even some JavaScript and CSS is to incorporate the ability of interactivity. So in our use case, we actually do have open attestation actually has the ability to perform selective redaction, and that's where the recipient of a particular VC can choose to redact certain fields in the document. So basically, in this particular sequence diagram here, after the initial render, the user can initiate an obfuscation process to choose certain fields to obfuscate. So we are hoping to make use of the embedded renderer here to provide that graphic user interface ability, right? So as you can see down here for this particular OpenCerts demo example, we have the transcript tab, and we are able to initiate the obfuscation process, right? So once I click this particular button, you can see the renderer has been transformed in the so-called obfuscation mode, right? And all these behavior can be defined individually by each issuer. So the open attestation framework doesn't have to be involved in that process, but basically they can make use of the different action APIs to say, for example, we want to obfuscate the number of units for this particular course. Maybe the first two courses, we don't want the recipient of another recipient to know what are the course units associated with these two courses. And once you're happy with this particular version of a redacted document, you can just click on Download OpenCert. So you're able to see how the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer has helped to facilitate this particular obfuscation process. So if we move on back to the homepage, and let's say a recipient of this particular redacted document wants to view it, they simply drag and drop in the same VC, the redacted VC, and we just give it a quick few seconds, and we will see that the two fields that we have redacted are no longer present on the renderer over here. So this is how we facilitate, we actually make use of our embedded renderer to perform selective redaction. Yeah.
Oh, good question on this.
Yes, hi.
In that reduction, does the underlying VC change then, or is it just the rendering that's changed?
Okay. That's a good question. So for the open attestation issued VCs, we make use of our open attestation proof signature. We have our own proof. I think we call it the securing mechanism, right? So we are in fact recomputing the proofs. So the fields are definitely redacted from the VC.
Cool.
And the recipient of the redacted document cannot reverse this procedure. Yeah, it is a permanent redaction. Yes.
Cool.
And this recomputation of proofs doesn't even involve the issuer as well. So it can all be done by the recipient. And the best part as well is that further down the line, if the recipient of a redacted document also wants to redact further more fields, they can also choose to do so. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so with that, I can pass the time back to Kelvin to carry on this presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Why the Open Attestation Embedded Renderer? So as Carl has demonstrated, you could we support user interactivity. Selective redaction is one of use cases, but essentially you build your web application. So you can actually code it in a way to achieve the type of UX you desire. Multiple ways to render a VC. So Carl showed you selecting different templates by clicking on different tabs. A way to do that, and our boilerplate application makes it easy for somebody to just pick it up and then add templates or modify templates in order to achieve that. And our web And for the third one, then in the data model, you specify, the issuer specifies the endpoint for the renderer. So the issuer has full control over what renderer to use. And then is able to update, make fixes or whatnot or, to the renderer as well. Okay. And then lastly, the last piece is on, it's the renderer runs at its own iframe. So there's a certain level of isolation between the host and the renderer. So that's security as a result of that. Okay. Next. Okay. So, one of our goals, right, is to actually encourage more adoption and usage of open attestation and the embedded renderer, and to make it easy for people to come on board and use implement it. So we have created a set of tutorials. I won't go into the details, but the links are actually in the presentation provided, and so you can actually look at that. And and our code is on GitHub, so you're free to just pull it, take a look, and run it, and try out. Okay, so with that, then we get into our Q&A phase.
Great, thank you. Manu, see you on the queue.
Yeah, I thank you, Calvin and Kyle for the presentation. It's really neat work, right? I think, Singapore is definitely far ahead of many other initiatives in the space when it comes to, being able to render this stuff, being able to redact it, using, a custom UI for the individual to make it easy for them to understand, what they're redacting. There are a bunch of really neat, features in here, and it's great to, that you're also engaging with the global standards process to enable this, functionality for the rest of the world. I'm wondering what, kind of the focus, for your team over the next, 6 months to a year, is going to be. Are there, things that are missing from the render that you would like to fix? Do you have like a roadmap that you can share with us today?
Okay. So I think one of our immediate goals right now is to we want to work with the international community, and that's why we worked on, first part was to publish get our render method spec published. So the next piece here is actually to get our, securing method, also published as well. So, that would be one of the goals, in terms of, getting more of that international recognition and also support. Now, in terms of the roadmap itself, currently we are actually more quite focused on actually driving the applications side of it. So we mentioned I think TrustDocs is one of the new initiatives that we're working on. So our more immediate goal is actually really to just push for more adoption and by building the applications that would lead to that. So we don't have so much specifically trying to improve open attestation per se for the next 6 months. Okay, but I'm not sure if Yvonne, you have something to add to this.
Hi. No, I think Calvin's pretty much on track. I think it's really about looking at ways and how open attestation can fit with the use cases that we're seeing within the Singapore government.
Yes. At the same time, I think I also want to add that for one thing is, on one hand, we're trying to be practical in terms of driving more adoption, reaching them, reaching out to users. The other part is we also very keen to look at the trends in the industry today and to look at what are the next things that we would want to adopt and work with as well. And hence we are coming to TPEC as well to learn more and interact with you guys.
Great, thanks, Calvin. I put myself on the queue. I have a question. I wondered, what are the privacy implications of this render method? Like, I see the screen with the, you know, the sequence diagram, if you like, and I see like arrows going between the verifier and the issuer, and I'm wondering, what are the implications of that? What information is getting passed backwards and forwards? Or really, is it just a call to an API to some empty HTML that then the verifier populates? As a generic call.
Sure. I think that's the key thing we're expecting. So I think Carl would be best place. I'm volunteering Carl.
Thanks, Calvin. Yeah, thanks for the question. I think we are well aware of some of the privacy concerns that could come up with, for example, the renderer endpoint having access to some of these fields in the VC. I believe there are ways to circumvent or at least prevent further disclosure of all these VCs that are being rendered as like a inverted commas callback to the renderer endpoint. One thing to note is that the embedded renderer endpoint is actually serving just basic HTML and JavaScript that is actually going to be run on the client side. So there are no backend API calls to the render endpoint. So one of the possible ways that we can circumvent this is that the verifier basically caches the HTML and corresponding JavaScript or CSS from the renderer endpoint, and then it can be served locally on the verifier, so that there are totally no network calls required to fetch this HTML or CSS. But when we mentioned the post message API calls, those are all happening locally on the browser client side. So there are not too much of a callback back to the embedded renderer. The other thing I also would like to raise is that the way that we provide the fields to the renderer to render is that we can actually provide just basically the fields. So you can think of it as the embedded renderer being quite dumb. Maybe it's not the best word, but basically we do not provide things like the proof object. So basically it's just, here are all the populated fields and we're not going to give you anything else other than that. Just help me to render this document. Yeah. So, it's not doing any verification. It's not doing anything. It's really just converting a particular object to a HTML. Yeah.
Right. So if I can restate that, then it's like I'm a verifier and I've got this VC of a particular type, and I'm just asking the endpoint, hey, have you got a template for this type of VC? And then I'm going to get back if I haven't got it already, right? And then they're going to send me a template, which is some HTML, and then on my end, I'm going to fill that HTML template with the data from my VC.
Exactly. I think you summed it up pretty well. Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Any more questions? Anu.
I think it would be really great. I mean, that was a great answer on the privacy concerns implications part of it. I think it's probably worth writing that up in the specification to note that, what those privacy implications are. Because just now when I've taken a look at the PRs and the spec and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't click until just now when you said what you did, Kyle. So that's great. I mean, I think that's a very defensible, privacy position. As far as kind of, you know, roadmap is concerned, I know that there are a number of us that would like to take the render method specification onto the standards track at the World Wide Web Consortium. So it's great that, your team is going to, be there, because we'll need, you know, all the support that we can get to, convince the W3C membership to, put at least, you know, render method along with a number of other things, for verifiable credentials on the, into the next charter. Securing mechanism that you're talking about, which I believe is like a Merkle tree proof based, you know, securing mechanism, is that also of interest to put on the standards track? The reason I ask is because there are other selective disclosure mechanisms that are probably going to be global standards. I know that there are differences in the way that you're employing kind of your selective disclosure mechanism that are important. Is that something also that you're interested in kind of pursuing on the global standards track, or do you feel some of the other things that are being worked on, like BBS, unlinkable and selective disclosure, or the ECDSASD thing would fit your use case as well? So the general question is, what are your thoughts on standardizing the Merkle proofs stuff that you're working on?
Yes, we are definitely interested in also pursuing that as well, because we do feel that we have a certain type of use case that that we feel could be useful in terms of pushing for our setup. But at the same time, the longer term, I think our view is also can be quite pragmatic as well. So, you know, like right now, we do want to push for it. But longer term, I think we'll also want to look at how the market develops.
Great. Thanks. Can I see Bill on the queue?
Yes, Manu's comment. Can you hear me? Is it there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
She wasn't sharp, but still.
Manu's comment about unlinkability led me to think about whether if a number of credentials are being rendered to the same individual from the same institution, it sounds like that is what is a potential issue that might be correlatable to identity if that's happening over time. And I'm not sure that the comment about processing a lot of the JavaScript internally to the browser quite addresses that aspect, but perhaps you can comment on that.
Okay. I think there might be, so we want to understand that, basically, the issuers, at least for our current use cases, the issuers are the genuine issuers of the document, right? So, they are well aware of like the identities that, or at least the certificates that they have already issued. I suppose the only important context that they can get out of it is if they were able to claw, you know, use some callbacks to kind of call back, you know, what are the certs that are being rendered out there. They would only make known of the verification numbers, perhaps, right? So these are data that has been issued and also been given by the same issuer. So maybe you could help me expand on some other implications that could occur if such information were to be leaked back to the issuer, like
sure. I mean, I think the main thing is if the party that we're talking about is a third party watching the transactions across the web, and they're seeing these transactions coming from this institution for a particular credential type. If there's any way for them to see that over time from multiple places. For example, because it's being rendered for different applications of employment from different institutions, the probability that you'll be able to start correlating that process with other data and thereby identify the actual identity of the individual for whom who's the credential subject. That's the question that I was really focusing on. And Manu, you might be able to elaborate more clearly than I have.
Understood. Yeah, thanks for clarifying. So in that case, we are talking about a possible man in the middle that could, you know, monitor the network logs and kind of correlate a particular identity of a person. So I think those are the things that we have kind of well aware of, but we haven't actually made use of maybe some of the ways to circumvent this. For example, like we can cache the render endpoint response or the HTML locally on the verifier side. So there will only be, in that case, if we do choose to circumvent it, there will only be one network call. So even if there's someone in the middle, I think it will be a bit more difficult, but I wouldn't necessarily say 100% circumvented. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, to follow on to that, it does seem like, caching client side, can address some of those things. But I think, Phil, you do have a good point, meaning that, there are patterns, like if you're not caching things client side, there are patterns that someone watching this could pick up on that, oh, we're dealing with an individual here with a very specific kind of educational history or healthcare history or document history. And you can start linking the individual through those things. However, as Kyle mentioned, I think, the more caching you use, the less, you can trace that. In fact, you could probably mitigate the concern almost entirely, Phil, if, there are only 10 or 15 credentials that the verifier deals with and they fetch 15 of those things and then cache them for a month. And then for the rest of the month, any kind of attacker really doesn't get any kind of, new information, right? So for example, that's one thing that could be done, through caching. I'm wondering, Kyle, if you've also considered, things like oblivious HTTP, or fetching some of these documents off of a, more decentralized network like IPFS. I did notice in the network traces as you were doing your demo that you were hitting Ethereum and some Cloudflare Ethereum endpoints. So I'm curious if you're already kind of doing that a bit or if you've considered using things like oblivious HTTP to serve up some of these files. That's it.
Oh yeah, thanks Manu for adding on to that as well. I think there was firstly, I think I wanted to reemphasize that the render endpoint, when we actually render the particular VC, the VC, at least the credential data is not sent to the renderer endpoint, in this rendering mechanism. So just thought I should emphasize that. The other thing you mentioned was that I'm not really familiar with that HTTP spec yet, but I have come across IPFS before, and that could potentially be one of the ways that we could serve our renderer endpoint. So that could be one of the potential ways. I think we can explore that further. In fact, I think IPFS also, you're able to put in like a fixed address, right? So that is really a plausible solution as well. Let me recall what else did you mention? Oh yes. So for us just now, when we were showcasing the verification, that demo certificate was issued using the Ethereum issuance. So for open attestation, there are two forms of issuance. One is using a smart contract where we record down, let's say, a particular unique hash of a document and say that, okay, this hash has been issued. So for that case, the verification procedure actually make use of querying the blockchain for the history of this hash being existing. So that's one of the network calls that you see. And one of the ways that we also kind of distribute the load or make sure that we're not always hitting the same Ethereum node is that I think you also could see from the network calls that sometimes we're hitting the Cloudflare node, and then sometimes we're hitting, let's say, the Infura node. So in that way, the query of the blockchain is actually quite distributed. So we are asking for one small bit of information from this particular node, and then another small bit of information from another particular node. So I think that kind of explains the network calls to the Ethereum nodes that you were talking about. The other form of issuance that Alpen Attestation supports is using DID signing. So I think that's the one that is a little bit more familiar with the community and the VC community. I think you guys prefer that much over having the proof specified locally on the VC. So that's where our DID issuance flow can support that. Yeah. Mm. So I hope if you have any further questions on that, yeah, feel free to let me know.
Anybody else have any questions? I maybe have one final small one, which is I'm quite interested in your securing mechanism. Is it public anywhere? I know you said you wanted to work to standardize it, or you mentioned bringing it to TPAC, but is there any document where its current form is written up?
Ah, yes, great question. So we don't have a specification written up yet at the moment. What we're trying to do now is to perhaps, you know, have it properly checked with, for example, the IETF body to see if our, for example, our digest procedure, you know, is it secure enough? Or are we hashing things correctly? But I think what I can share with all of you is that the hashing mechanism, or the hashing algorithm rather, as well as the signing algorithms, are all based off well-established algorithms that are already out there. For example, like ECDSA or signing, or the Kakak hashing as well. So if you would like to learn more about our securing mechanism, we do have an documentation on our Open Attestation website. Let me just share the link quickly into the chat over here. So of course, this is not a formal spec yet, but rather it describes how we establish particular document integrity, how we sort of salt the fields, how we hash them, how we sign them, and I hope like it's a procedure that you guys find attractive. Yeah, so do give it a read. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. That was great. Anybody else? Let's call for questions for Calvin and Kyle in the team. Manu.
Sorry, I'm full of questions today. Could you speak more to the work that you're doing with Cambodia? Is there kind of a drive to work with groups in the Asia Pacific region to also set up open attestation systems? What's kind of the plan there, if you can share anything?
So I need to defer this to Yvonne.
I don't think we have a formal plan here, but it's, I guess, with Cambodia, it happened. We have a memorandum of understanding with them so that the two governments, can work together. Since we both are adopting the same, open attestation framework, and using the same, verifier based on this framework. Not the same verifier, but similar implementation. As for other countries in the Asia Pacific region, we don't have concrete plans as yet. Yeah, but basically, they're free to use the open source framework.
Great. Last chance, or you can close the call. I mean, we want to try and finish at 5:02 anyway, so don't mind closing now. But if anyone's got any last comments, not seeing anyone. Yeah, I'll just say thank you. Very interesting work going on there, Calvin and Kyle and the rest of the Singapore team. I look forward to maybe even seeing you at TPAC and certainly seeing how the work develops further. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Have a good week. Bye.
Thank you.